Social expectation drowns us all inside. What you have should be what I want, 'cause what I have just ain't alright. The clothes I wear, the way I comb my hair, how I live, oh, I don't care.
والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد عدد ما في علم الله صلاة دائمة بدوام ملك الله. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما. اللهم آتي أنفسنا تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها. اللهم زدنا ولا تنقصنا وأكرمنا ولا تهنا وأعطنا ولا تحرمنا وآثرنا ولا تؤثر علينا وأرضنا عنك وارض عنا. أما بعد, the 11th sitting, misgiving and prying, then suspicion, misgiving and prying and spying. And the cure for that, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Was Salatu Was Salamu Ala Rasulihil Kareem, Wa Ala Ali Wa Ashabihi Ajma'in. Amma Ba'd, Fa'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitanir Rajeem. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اجتنبوا كثيرا من الظن إن بعض الظن إثم ولا تجسسوا ولا يغتب بعضكم بعضا. For you who believe, avoid much of suspicion, for surely some ظن, some suspicion is a sin, and spy not nor backbite one another. Suspicion and spying, dhan and tajassus, are sins, but we indulge in them without thinking of them as sins. But it is very clear from the Quran that it is haram to have misgivings about another person and to pry into his affairs. We pursue him inquisitively and look out for any wrong that he might commit or for his faults. The Quran made it very clear. Allah says, وَلَا تَجَسَّسُوا. Don't do tajassus. Do not spy on one another. Everyone must concentrate on his own work and not worry himself about what other people do. Similarly, it is unlawful to mistrust other people and be suspicious of them. If we learn of something of other people, we must think good of them. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Dhunnu bil mu'minina khayra, dhunnu bil mu'minina khayra." Hold a good opinion of the believers, think good about them. It is wrong to have misgivings about other people and suppose of someone that he might have done a bad thing or he might have had an evil intention. The Quran has said about it, "Inna ba'dha dhanni if," surely some suspicions are sins, cause of social evils. All these things are unlawful, and the Quran and Hadith have confirmed that explicitly. There is no doubt about it. These sins are the cause of social evils. Lack of harmony, discord, and mutual disputes owe their origin in our society to the ills of suspicion and prying. These two grave sins, dhann and tajassus, These two grave sins are the root cause of much corruption and mischief. Our social life. However, these ills are rampant in our society. Everyone grows a suspicion about another and then comes to believe it as though he had seen it with his own eyes. He grows it and then comes to believe it as though he had seen it with his own eyes. If he learns of something, then he builds towers of possibilities over it, which he soon believes to be facts. Sequence of the verse. Allama Qurtubi rahmatullah alayh has explained this verse of the Holy Quran. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, O you who believe, ijtanibu kathiran min adh-dhann, save yourselves to a great extent from dhan, from suspicion and misgiving. Inna ba'dha adh-dhanni ithm, some suspicions are a sin. Wala tajassasu, don't spy on one another. وَلَا يَغْتَبْ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا, and let not one of you backbite the other. Some of you should not backbite some. But the Quran, subhanallah, is full of ma'ani, meanings. The depth of the meanings lies in the sequence of the verse, the tartib. Look at the sequence. Allama Qurtubi mentions and gives his commentary. He has pointed out that the verse has established an amazing tartib sequence. It begins with saying, ijtanibu kathiran min adh-dhan, shun suspicion, shun it. So it begins. If you learn something about someone, it is forbidden and unlawful that without having investigated facts, you begin to be suspicious about him and assume this and that. And then he who is suspicious argues that if he is not allowed to have misgivings about anyone without investigation, then he must be allowed to find out if his suspicion is correct. He who is suspicious argues that if he is not allowed to have misgivings about anyone without investigation, if that is not permissible and he can't do that, then he must be allowed to find out if his suspicion is correct. Was I right? Is my thought about him right or wrong? Is the other person guilty? And has he the fault in him? So The Quran commands next, وَلَا تَجَسَّسُ, and do not pry. You are not allowed to investigate his conduct. How are you concerned with his sin? Why do you want to know whether he committed the sin or not? As the Urdu poet says, do not be concerned about others. Look into your own affairs. Do not be concerned about others. Look into your own affairs. He will give his account to Allah for whatever he does. You are not allowed to pry into his affairs. Tajassus and tahassus. According to hadith, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam has used two words for this in hadith. He said, وَلَا تَجَسَّسُوا, do not pry, spy. وَلَا تَحَسَّسُوا, and do not eavesdrop. Don't eavesdrop. Tajassus is what is described above in explanation of the Quranic verse, in which a man occupies himself in searching, prying for faults of other people and employs different methods for that. Tahassus is to eavesdrop. to try to hear someone's secret. The other man wishes to conceal, but he tries to hear it, eavesdrop. The Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam declared that both are haram. And the problem with us, my dear listeners, the problem with us is that when we hear about halal and haram, we think about food and drink, and we think about salat, leaving out of salat, not paying zakat. But these things are so important that there is halal and haram about them also too. Halal and haram applies to them also. Why is tajassus haram and unlawful? Why is it forbidden? It is forbidden to indulge in tajassus, spying and prying, and tahassus, eavesdropping, because you know, one who indulges in them, he neglects his own faults. If he was aware of his shortcomings, he would never pry into other people's affairs. A man who is uncomfortable with stomachache would not try to find out if another person has a cold. He will try first to improve his own condition and will not look towards others until he is cured. Think of your own faults. If we are anxious of our own faults and how we will fear when we are presented before Allah, then we will not even raise our eyes towards other people. Bahadur Shah Zafar had said, translation of which is, when I was unaware of my faults, said Bahadur Shah Zafar, when I was unaware of my faults, I looked at the faults of other people, calling them evil. But when my sight fell on my sins, then there was none worse than me in my sight. Maulana Thanwi's condition. As for those people whom Allah causes to consider their own faults, they find everyone else excellent. Hakimul Ummah, Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanwi, Rahmatul Alayh, the Mujaddid, the Reviver, and the Reformer of this century, has said, I consider all Muslims currently and all disbelievers, hopefully, to be better than me. He means that the Muslims are more excellent than him even now. And he hopes that the disbelievers will be guided by Allah and thus become better than him in terms of belief and consequences. If this is the condition of a man of this caliber, where do we stand? He whom Allah causes to examine his own faults regards everyone else as more excellent than him. He does not investigate other people for their faults. Hence you must pay attention to yourself. The path you tread, the deeds you perform, the faults in you, work to remove them. It is forbidden to probe into the conduct of other people, to pry into their affairs, and to have misgivings about them. If we do that, we also ruin our life in this world and the Akhirah. May Allah help us to keep away from these evils. Allahumma Ameen. The blameworthy suspicion or the blameworthy dhan. Maulana Thanwi's sayings, Rahmatul Alayh, about suspicion include, he says, suspicion grows from arrogance, takabbur. The blameworthy suspicion, dhan, is one which is worked up. It is worked up, built up, worked up. So the temptation that comes to the mind uninvited is not blameworthy suspicion as long as it is not put into practice. It is said to have been put into practice when one makes it decisive at heart, or mentions it to someone else, it becomes blameworthy. As long as a temptation is not put to practice, it is not subject to accountability, and it is not harmful. And Fase Isa. Suppose Mufti Taqi Usmani comments on Maulana's statement. Suppose you had some misgivings, some dhans, suspicion about someone because of his attitude, and you get a thought that he might have done a certain thing. If this thought came to the heart by itself and the suspicion grows uninvited, then there is no sin on that because you have no say in the matter. It's uninvited. Deriving conclusions from someone's action, watch out for this. Deriving conclusions from someone's action. Suppose Mufti Taqi Damat Barakatuhum says, suppose you see a man coming out of a restaurant during the days of fasting in the month of Ramadan. You might get an idea that he's not fasting. The thought comes in, he's not fasting. But this thought has come to you by itself, uninvited. So there's no sin for it. Nevertheless, you must read a good and approved meaning in the action of that man. You must get a good meaning. Read a good and approved meaning. That he has purchased some eatables for a sick relative or had gone to meet someone there. These things are possible. So you must convince yourself that he had gone for one of these things. There is no need to probe the matter any further. No need to probe and to justice and to spy. But suspicion is forbidden. The thought that had come uninvited is not a sin. We know that. And there is no question asked on that and no accountability in the Akhirah. But if you convince yourself that the thought in your mind was true, you're convincing your own self it was true, and he was not fasting and had gone into the restaurant to eat food, rejecting the other possibilities, and you relate to others that you had seen him with your own eyes, then that is a suspicion and it is haram and forbidden. The fact, however, is that you had only seen him go into the restaurant and no more. You had not seen him eat. This is what Maulana Rahmatul Alayhi meant when he said that there is no sin if one gets a thought uninvited. But it is a sin to believe that the thought is a fact. That's the sin, to believe the thought is a fact and then to mention it to others as a fact. The Maulana Rahmatul Alayhi has said, the blameworthy suspicion is one that is worked up, chained up, built up. But the temptation that comes uninvited is not blameworthy until it is acted upon. The action comes with the decision at heart, confirming it or relating it to somebody. That's how it is acted upon. Action comes with the decision at heart, confirming it or relating it to somebody. No account is taken for it, and there is no harm if it is not acted upon. If it is not acted upon. And how is it acted upon? Action comes with the decision at heart, confirming your thoughts or relating it. Two kinds of suspicion. There are two kinds of suspicion. The first is the uninvited kind. It arises in the heart without one's effort, and Allah does not question it. involuntary. The second kind is by choice and invited. A suspicion arises and one lets it make home in the heart to breed other possibilities on which he affixes his stamp of confirmation as true, or he passes it on to other people. This second kind is mamnu, forbidden and disallowed. We must avoid it. So what is the root of suspicion? What is the root of this dhan and misgiving? It is takabbur, arrogance, pride. The Maulana goes on to describe the treatment of suspicion. If we have suspicion concerning anyone, it has its roots in arrogance. Then we must think of our own shortcomings. Then we must think of our own shortcomings and fasi isa. This is the treatment. If you have misgivings about another person in your heart if you have misgivings about another person in your heart, and though it is not a sin because it is uninvited, it could turn into a sin if allowed to make a home, to make a home in the heart. It might convince you of its reliability or make you mention it to other people. So you have to pay attention to its treatment. We may compare it. We may compare it to a spark of fire that has alighted near you. If you do not smother it, if you don't smother that spark of fire, it might grow into a furious conflagration at any moment. In the same way, you have to treat an uninvited suspicion by remembering your own shortcomings. Treatment. You must then tell yourself, why must I look at the faults of other people when my own condition is no better? Why I have to look? When you remember your faults in this way, you will get rid of the illness of suspicion. Culmination of tajassus and misgivings is backbiting. This is the culmination, the end result of tajassus and dhan. It's what? It's backbiting. That's the objective. That's the aim. Maulana Thanwi, rahmatullah alayhi, nawwarallahu marqadahu wa nafa'ana bi'ulumihim, ameen, said further, the root of suspicion, dhan, tajassus, and backbiting is arrogance. That's the root of all three. Suspicion, tajassus, spying, backbiting. The root of that is arrogance, pride, takabbur. Rather, the arrogant finds his satisfaction in backbiting. That's where he gets his real satisfaction, in backbiting. While suspicion and tajassus are preludes to it. If a person indulges in tajassus and suspicion but does not backbite, he indulges but doesn't backbite, then his objective is unfulfilled. And he will shun suspicion and tajassus sooner or later. Thus, backbiting is the severest, by Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanwi. Commentary of this. Mufti Taqi Usmani, Damat Barakatum, says, in other words, the three illnesses of suspicion, that is dhan, tajassus, spying, and ghibat, backbiting, arise from another illness, which is to think very high of oneself, called arrogance, pride, and takabbur. They arise from that. A man who thinks much of himself becomes suspicious of other people and spies on them to find out their faults and then backbites them. Backbiting is the main of the three illnesses in which the arrogant derives much pleasure. He uses suspicion, dhan, and tajassus as preludes to backbiting. For this suspicion and spying, tajassus, afford him an opportunity to backbite. They afford him an opportunity to backbite, preludes to backbiting. For what he finds through tajassus, spying, and suspects through suspicion, whatever he finds through that, he relates to the people. So the final consequence is backbiting, which is the real aim of the arrogant. It is difficult to find a man who suspects and pries but does not backbite. For he really indulges in suspicion and spying so that he may backbite and enjoy. That's the real aim. Therefore, the severest and worthy of attention is the malady of backbiting. If one is rid of it, then it is easy for him to rid himself of suspicion and spying. If one gets rid of backbiting, but then there's no joy, no purpose behind what he's doing. So no need for the preludes anymore. If one is rid of it, backbiting, ghibat, then it is easy for him to rid himself of suspicion, dhan, and to just spying. Sin and being suspicious. The Mawlana, Rahmatullah alayhi, said further, suspicion is sinful if it makes a home in the mind. If it is not rooted there, then it is not harmful. But it needs to be cured anyway. The treatment is to keep one's faults in mind. The treatment is to keep one's faults in mind. And if traces do remain after treatment, then it is not blameworthy. Commentary of the statement of Maulana. The meaning is that suspicion becomes a sin the moment one believes it to be true. Comes in uninvited, no problem. But it becomes a sin the moment one believes it to be true. If it is in his mind as a possibility, only then it is not harmful. Also, it is not sinful because the thought is uninvited. Thus, if a man sees someone emerging from a restaurant in the month of fasting, Ramadan, sees him coming out of restaurant and suspects that he might not be fasting, there's a possibility, he suspects that, the dhan comes to him, but does not believe in the thought. In other words, he doesn't act upon it. And action includes what? Believing. So the thought comes in, but he does not believe in the thought, then it is not harmful. However, it is necessary to treat that suspicion. Don't leave it so. It is necessary to treat that suspicion because it is like a spark of fire which has not burst into flames. Okay, it has not burst into flames as yet, but it might flare up at any time. The treatment, again, is to look at one's own faults. As mentioned before, if you realize you have a stomach ache, you wouldn't worry about somebody having a cold. If there are traces of the malady, even after the treatment, then it is not blameworthy because it is not within one's powers. May Allah cause us to observe religious injunctions and duties in a correct way. Allahumma ameen. The end of the 11th sitr. Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi. Subhanakallahu wa bihamdik. Nashhadu wa la ilaha illa anta. Nastaghfiruk wa natubu ilayk. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.
Social expectation drowns us all inside. What you have should be what I want, 'cause what I have just ain't alright. The clothes I wear, the way I comb my hair, how I live, oh I don't care. This is who I am, this is me. Nothing, everything, can't you see? Who